Kunjabi Hare. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tera Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jai Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. 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 Jamuna Tera Vanachari. Jamuna Tera Vanachari. Jamuna Tera Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Rane. Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Rane. Prabhupada 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 Prabhupada. ja ja Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ki Jaya Vishpad Paramahamsa Prabhupada Sota Vrstata Sri Sima Re Si Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Jaya Vishpad Paramahamsa Prabhupada Sota Vrstata Sri Sima Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Shad Goswami Prabhupada Ke Jai Rupa Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ke Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhana Ke Rajamami Vrindavan Dham Ke Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ke Gangamai Ke Jumanamai Ke Bhakta Devi Ke Tulsi Maharani Ke Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ke Sama Veda Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ke Gaur Premanandi. Our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Getting to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj has gone back to Godhead. Text number 45. Danyam Yashasyam Ayushyam Punyam Swastyayanam Mahat Swargyam Drovyam Somanasyam Prashasyam Agamarshanam Danyam Yashasyam Ayushyam Punyam Swastya Yanam Mahat Swargyam Drovyam Somanasyam Prashasyam Agamarshanam Danyam, danyam yashasyam ayusham Punyam swastya yanam mahat Swargyam drovyam somanasyam Prasasyam agamarshanam Danyam yashasyam ayusham Punyam swastya yanam mahat Swargyam drovyam somanasyam Prashasyam agamarshanam Danyam yashasyam ayusham Punyam swastya yanam mahat Matce Jesus. Danyam, bestowing wealth. Yashasyam, bestowing reputation. Ayusham, increasing the duration of life. Punyam, sacred. Swasti ayanam, creating auspiciousness. Mahat, great. Swargyam, bestowing achievement of heavenly planets. Dhruvyam, or Dhruvaloka. Samanasyam, pleasing to the mind. Prasasyam, glorious. Agamarsanam, counteracting all kinds of sinful activities. Translation. By hearing the narration of Dhruva Maharaj, one can fulfill desires for wealth, reputation, and increased duration of life. It's so auspicious that one can even go to a heavenly planet or attain Dhruva Loka, which was achieved by Dhruva Maharaj just by hearing about him. The demigods also become pleased because this narration is so glorious and is so powerful that it can counteract all the results of one's sinful actions. Please repeat. By hearing the narration of Dhruva Maharaj, one can fulfill desires for wealth, reputation, and increased duration of life. It is so auspicious that one can even go to a heavenly planet or attain Dhruva Loka, which was achieved by Dhruva Maharaj just by hearing about him. The demigods also become pleased because this narration is so glorious and it is so powerful that it can counteract all the results of one's sinful actions. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are different types of men in this world. Not all of them are pure devotees. Now, if that's not an understatement by Srila Prabhupada, I'll reread that. There are different types of men in this world. Not all of them are pure devotees. We can even say there are different types of devotees in this world. Not all of them are pure devotees. The Prabhupada saying men. Some are karmis, desiring to acquire vast wealth. There are also persons who are only after reputation. Some desire to be elevated to the heavenly planets or to go to Dhruvaloka. And others want to please the demigods to get material profits. Herein is recommended by Maitreya that every one of them can hear the narration about Dhruva Maharaj and thus get their desired goal. It is recommended that the devotees, Akama, the Karmis, Sarvakama, and the Gyanis, who desire to be liberated, Mokshakama, should all worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead to acquire their desired goals of life. Similarly, if anyone hears about the activities of the Lord's devotee, he can achieve the same result. There is no difference between the activities and character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and those of his pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mino Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pashtata Deshatarne Vanchakopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For those who I don't have the good fortune of knowing, my name is Rajendra Nandana Das, and I pray at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Why? Because I was born in the darkness of ignorance. But he's so kind, so very kind, that he's opening up my dark and blind eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So repeatedly I offer my obeisances unto him. I offer my prostrate obeisances into the feet of all my brothers, sisters, friends, well-wishers, and those who don't really care about me. I'm hoping that you'll give me the opportunity to please you, to help you, to serve you in some way. So we're getting to the blessings. It was worth sticking around. Today, that's the nature of a Vaishnava. His heart is nothing. A devotee is born to give blessings. What to speak of a devotee of the caliber of like Maitreya, Vidura, Shukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada. Born to give blessings. And these blessings, as we can hear in this first verse, all kinds of blessings. Some we might want, some we might not want. Pretty interesting. The Srimad Bhagavatam is supposed to be free of all cheating religion. Simply pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, and all their devotees. That's all Srimad Bhagavatam is sharing with us. But here we're getting the blessing that simply by having heard Dhruva Maharaj's pastimes that we can get money. Is there anybody here who can relate with, boy, I wish I had just a little bit more money? Our reputation? Come on, you're with a friend here. You're among friends. Who doesn't kind of like a little acknowledgement, pat on the back, hoping that I am of some worth in the service of the devotees in Srila Prabhupada? A healthy duration of life? Sometimes we've wished upon our friends, I hope you have a very long life. You should always add a healthy long life, because when your body comes to the point where it's just a bag of bone and skin, not a lot you can do with that vehicle. Not always so advantageous for continuing to actively preach, etc. So healthy long life. I was shocked when I met one godbrother. I've met two godbrothers in my life who really wanted to go to the heavenly planets. Hare Krishna. Read the fourth canto. It's a done deal. Or you can go to Dhruvaloka, a Vaikuntha planet in this material world, the pole star. You can have any and all this. And if you're not interested in any of those benedictions, just come tomorrow and the next day, because the benedictions continue. You can get pure devotional service. You can get the qualities of a pure devotee. Of course, that automatically diminishes the miseries of material life. I don't want to take anything away from the following verses or the speakers of those verses, but the nectar doesn't stop. So I'll take the last point of the purport first, and then we'll go back to the blessings. It's said that There's no difference between the activities and character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and those of his pure devotees. So whether we're glorifying or hearing or remembering the activities and qualities and glories of the Lord or his devotees, it's absolutely the same. In the absolute sense, there is no difference. There's different ways in which you could explain this. First thing I'll say is whenever you mention Krishna or Bhagavan, he's never alone. There's always two other entities, minimum, present. There'll be bhakti and bhakta. Srila Prabhupada says those three are eternally united. The bhakta, devotional service, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're on the absolute platform. Never separated. And Krishna, we know there's no way that this material energy can ever touch him. With folded hands, she stands on the backside of the Lord, performing a thankless task, one that she sometimes admits, how can I ever get the mercy, because I'm simply causing the conditioned souls to suffer and to forget you and your devotional service. Krishna's never influenced or touched by the material energy. He's always with his internal potency, specifically personified by Srimati Radharani. Always with the divine potency. And the devotees, Mahatmanam, Tamam Partha, Daivim Prakritim Ashita, they're always taking shelter of that divine energy. Absolutely the same. There's a nice verse in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the Lord said to Durvasa Muni, Sadavo Ridiyam Mayam Sadunam Ridiyam Tvaham, that the pure devotee is always in the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. So in this way, the glories of the Lord and his devotees are absolute. One time, Burijan Prabhu, early on in the movement, he asked Srila Prabhupada, if I forget Krishna at the time of death, but if I remember you, will the benefit be the same? Srila Prabhupada said, yes. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now to come back to the blessings. The Lord is not stingy. He's anything but stingy. He is unlimitedly merciful. Hey Krishna Karana Sindo. To say that his mercy is like that of an ocean is a gross understatement. Lord Krishna, specifically in the mood of Srimati Radharani as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mercy makes millions of oceans put together look like a small little pond. Unlimitedly merciful. That's why we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. If the full force of that mercy were to ever come down upon you, it'd blow you away. Just like Mother Ganga. She said, okay, I wasn't all that inclined to come down to the Martyaloka, to the middle planetary systems, but if that's your desire, my Lord, okay, I'll come on down. But who can catch, who can withhold the full force of me coming down from the heavenly planets? Only Lord Shiva. So Lord Chaitanya is so unlimitedly compassionate and merciful that we require that mercy to be transferred by Lord Nityananda to us. He can give us what we can handle. Just a little speck of his mercy is enough to make us become fools in love of Godhead, madmen in Krishna consciousness. But so many people, conditioned souls, are not interested in this priceless gift, service, eternal service to the Lord. That's why we have mention of these kind of benedictions that appears contradictory to unalloyed pure devotional service to the Lord. Want some money? Here it is. Want some reputation, long, healthy life, elevation to heavenly planets? No problem. The bad news, it's a trick. We see devotees get these kind of blessings. Devotees become empowered, and wherever they put their desire or their focus, it manifests. We live charmed and blessed lives. And we have to be very careful when we're dealing with the desire tree of service to the Lord, the desire tree of the lotus feet of the pure devotee. By surrendering at his lotus feet, one gets the fulfillment of all desires. You have to be careful what you wish for, because the Lord can easily give it. He does give it. Readily gives it. Someone's worshiping me and he wants this? No problem. The good news is, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he shares the fact that for his devotees who want material benedictions, even though it's like drinking poison, it's suicidal, it's stupid, there's no good reason to ask anything but pure, unalloyed, eternal devotional service to the Lord. But if that's what you want, okay, I can give. But I'll do it in such a way that upon experiencing the fulfillment of your desires, you'll realize that's not what I want at all. I do want Krishna's devotional service. So that's the trick. Here, have this simply wonderful. Take this Halava, take this Vishadam. One time Satyadanya Prabhu said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I became a devotee because of the Halava. Prabhupada laughed and he said, it's a fact, all of you become devotees because of Vishadam. Mahaprasadam ki. Yeah. So, chant and be happy. Krishna consciousness is so simple. The dangling carrot is there, and the dangling carrot is grasped and achieved in Krishna consciousness. No problem. Prabhupada assures us. He's quoting this verse in the purport. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama dardi tivraini bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. No problem. If your heart's chock full of dirty desires, if you have any brain substance at all, you'll worship me for the fulfillment of those desires. If you want liberation, no one, not Brahma, not Shiva, not any other lesser demigod, what to speak of some fool in a human form of life, can give liberation. Simply Krishna, Mukunda, can give liberation. Worship me. Or if you're completely self-satisfied, like the devotees, we know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ataiva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakala Sakali Ashanta. Because a devotee is desireless, he's completely peaceful, completely satisfied. Fruity workers, karmis on the other hand, they're chasing that dollar hard. They'll work, they'll even risk their lives, Prahlad Maharaj said, to try and make a buck. The gyanis want liberation, the yogis want mystic powers. Therefore, they're all lusty. They're all selfish. They are looking after themselves, and how can you be peaceful in such a state of mind? Impossible. We're the eternal servants of Krishna. That's who we are. And devotional service is all that can satisfy us. Even when you get everything you want, Hiranyakashipu thought he had it all. Okay, Brahma won't say the exact words I want, but I'm a lawyer. I can put in all the fine print and cover all the loopholes so that I will live eternally in this world. He had it. His son Prahlad saw he had it. Simply by raising his eyebrows, the demigods, the universal controllers would tremble. Everyone, even Narada Muni, was singing his glories. How inconceivable is that? Only Brahma and Shiva were immune to having to subject themselves to that. But was he happy? No, not at all. Completely dissatisfied. Why? Because the wicked mind would never give him rest. Or like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the capacious senses are constantly forcing one to engage in sense gratification. Rapacious, what does it mean? I looked it up. It's an incredible adjective used by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It comes from a French word, apacious, which means a wild animal that eats live prey. The senses are like wild, fierce beasts that are greedy and never satisfied, simply attacking the objects of the senses. How can you be happy with that? Krishna says, if you're trying to fulfill your desires, how could you be peaceful? And if you're not peaceful, there's no way you can be happy. But Prabhupada and Krishna, well, Prabhupada in this purport is saying, whatever, doesn't matter, worship Krishna. No matter how dirty the heart may be, no matter how many material desires you have, he said, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, you're learned or illiterate, you're old or young, intelligent, not so bright, fortunate or have nothing but bad luck, or even human and amazingly enough, even an animal or a plant. One can either engage in devotional service or be a recipient of the mercy of one who has devotional service. Bhakti is so absolutely wonderful and merciful. No material qualification. Sometimes we think, oh, to become a devotee, we see somebody walk in the temple and that we immediately size them up and say, he or she looks like a little dirty, a little raggedy, not so rich, not so intelligent, or maybe over-intelligent, too puffed up. And sometimes we think you got to be a pure devotee to walk in the door to be embraced and allowed to engage in Krishna's service. Wrong. Wrong mentality. There is no material qualification for taking the devotional service. And those that are real devotees, the caliber of which we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam, they understand that and they simply want to give Krishna to everyone. Just like one devotee, this in no way has any political ramifications or implications or what have you, but one of my godbrothers, I said, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for your disciples, and he said, I pray that you have the intelligence to do what Srila Prabhupada wants you to do, and he said, I don't want a war, I don't want to win a fight, I just want to help bring 1.5 billion people to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. The pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, has the mood of Krishna, and that is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simply give it out, as Bhakti Purushottam Swami was saying, the qualification is our disqualification in this age. The most fallen are getting the highest, priceless, rarest gem of devotional service. Inconceivable. So it doesn't matter where we start out in devotional service. Chaturvidha bhajante mam janasukratana arjuna arto jigyasar artarti jnani cha bhartarshiva. Four kinds of people, Krishna say, can come to devotional service. If you're fortunate. Interestingly enough, in that purport, Prabhupada doesn't say akama sarva kamo va. He doesn't go in that direction. He goes in the other direction. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmanya navritam. And that's the way I thought when I first read this verse in purport I was going to take it. I'm aspiring for this elevated position of mercy. I'm praying every day here in Mayapur that I can become a qualified disciple. One of my godbrothers hit me straight in the face and said, are you sold out to the desire of your spiritual master? Ask yourself that. If not, we should pray. Always be mindful and pray that we become a sold out fool before our spiritual master and thus be able to be empowered to be his instrument. I can't do a thing. I have to be empowered. And if I'm not empowered by my spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, what am I empowered by? Maya, material energy. I'm simply a dancing puppet in her hands. Our Bhagavatam even gets more, you know, they try to slap us out of it. Jeev Jago, as a male, they address me. You're simply a dancing dog in the hands of a woman. If you're simply a non-devotee, what else can you be? And they become proud of it. I do sales and I see so many men timid before their wives. Oh, can I buy this? No. Sorry. She's the boss. That's Kali Yuga. Nobody knows their position of how to please each other, how to serve each other in the service of the Lord. So I'm either empowered by Maya or empowered by divine energy, the devotional service of the devotees and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. As Prabhupada said, let me become your puppet. Make me dance. Make me dance. Make me dance. Srila Prabhupada shared with us, every night before going to bed, he would pray, Krishna, please help me not fall into Maya. How does that strike you? A lover of God, every night, praying to Krishna, his worshipful Lord, please don't let me fall into Maya. So we may have material desires, and that's okay, because everything can be used in Krishna's service. Dhruva Maharaj, he had such a huge material desire. Who else wanted such a thing? Not even Aranyakashipu wanted as much as Dhruva Maharaj. He just wanted to control the universe. Dhruva Maharaj is saying, I want a kingdom bigger than this universe. And he engaged in the devotional service as instructed by his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada in the verse, Tuvyena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param, ends the purport in an incredibly interesting fashion. He says, Tuvyena means very forceful. Just like the sun rays. The sun rays are so powerful, so potent. If we got a little too close in the sun's rays, we'd be burnt to a crisp. So powerful. And Srila Prabhupada said, anyone is qualified to render devotional service in that mood of Tivrena, even if they have some exterior motive. You don't have to be a pure devotee to take up devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj was anything but a pure devotee, and he got the darshan of the Supreme Personality, got in and was given love for Krishna. He surrendered 100% to the instruction of his spiritual master. Material desires don't have to be an obstacle. But boy, is that one a razor's edge. Prabhupada quotes Shastra giving that analogy. You know, whenever, I don't ever do it anymore, but when you get the shave by the barber and he's got that straight-edge razor on your jugular vein, he's pulling the skin up, you have to have faith that this man knows what he's doing. I don't. When I used to shave up, and hopefully soon I will be again shaving up, but when I used to get nicked, it hurt enough. Just on the head, but on the, you know, I use these safety razors with the gel on the razor, you know. Nicking myself is bad enough with that. But the material desires and devotional service are a razor's edge. Because if you back shelf them, no problem. That's what Dhruva Maharaj did. I want a kingdom bigger than my grandfather, Lord Brahma. Okay. Worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the instructions of the spiritual master. He backshelved it. Whatever you want, and if you're honest and you find desires other than devotional service in your heart, Hare Krishna. That's life. That's the human experience. How surprising is that? We've been conditioned since time immemorial with such stupidity. Okay, back shelf it. And simply focus on the instructions of the spiritual master, the mood of the spiritual master. But what happens when we retain these material desires, the 10th offense in chanting the holy name, if you think about them, begin to feel the pushing of those desires, and then you will or desire, yeah, I really want that. Once you've hit that point, then it's basically it's a done deal. From contemplation of the object of the senses, material desire develops, and from material desire, you're on the slippery slope. Boom. Well, a lot of times we say, yukta vairagya. I said, it doesn't matter if you're rich. For heaven's sake, when he said, Ambarish is given $25 million, I nearly soiled myself. I didn't realize he was given that much. That's a lot of money. It doesn't matter if you're rich, if you use it in the service of the Lord. That's called yukta vairagya. He's giving it to the spiritual master. Fulfillment of the desire of his spiritual master. That's yukta vairagya. But we really tend to take that verse of Lord Chaitanya's, Dharupa Goswami, or Rupa Goswami's verse, yukta vairagya, that's real renunciation. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada was revolutionary in what he used in the service of the Lord. I was told there was a handful of cars in India when he had a car purchased. For the service of the Lord. Revolutionary. And so we accumulate all these things in the service of the Lord. Because we're using them for Krishna's pleasure. But let me just give you an example. Anybody have a cell phone close by? Cell phone? I'm getting the chance to make this point, so don't mind me taking just a moment to set it up. Japa time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Or the phone goes off in Bhagavatam class. Isn't our mind rascal enough? Doesn't it beat us mercilessly enough with material distractions and thoughts and desires? Keeping us from the shelter of Radha and Krishna's holy names, one-on-one, chanting Hare Krishna? That we got to get a little toy to pull out of our pocket to see if anybody emailed me? Or, hey, Prabhu, I got Prabhupada's, I got all of Prabhupada's writings here. Yukta vairagya. Either it is or it isn't, and sometimes we fool ourselves. That's a purport to Prabhupada, or Krishna Chaitanya saying in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, sometimes when you're watering the devotional creeper, the weeds look just like the devotional creeper. And a neophyte can't distinguish between what's your material attachment and what's actually pleasing to Krishna. As I shared with a couple of my godbrothers yesterday, spontaneous devotional service, the platform of spontaneous devotional service, it does not mean whatever comes to mind Krishna wants and I can do whatever I like, whenever I like. That's called whimsical. If you're a pure devotee lover of Krishna, then that's a different matter. Your heart, your mind, your words, your bodies can do nothing but please Krishna. That's why devotional service is rare. Because on that platform, you're in the Lord's heart and He does nothing but think of you and endeavor to please you and fulfill your every desire. Because all you want to do is please Him. Then the whole world could be given to Srila Prabhupada. I forget, somebody said how many thousands of dollars were coming in every day when ISKCON was at its height of book distributions. Anybody remember off the top of your head? It was tens of thousands of dollars every day. That's a lot of money. And Prabhupada instructed his disciples, don't misspend a nickel or you'll be held accountable. That's yukta vairagya. And the flip side is to foolishly give up that which can be engaged in the service of the Lord. When I became a devotee, drove down to the temple to join the ashram, I gave away everything I had, except my car, basically. That got taken for the Lord's service. Lasted about 6 months before the devotees forgot to put oil in it. So my first point was, I foolishly gave a lot a way that could have been used in Krishna service. Palgu Vairagya. And then sometimes if there isn't a sense of ownership, then, oh, that's Krishna's. Because we don't love Krishna, then we don't love his paraphernalia, worshipable paraphernalia. The car was worshipable paraphernalia to the Lord. Neglectful. Just use it, parentheses, enjoy it, and then the oil runs out, the engine blows up. It's a razor's edge, devotional service. If we take shelter of the pure devotees and the pure message that they speak, like the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't have to be tricked. We don't have to be dancing puppets in the hands of our previous conditioning. We can at least back shelf it. If we can't become fully empowered by the mercy of our spiritual master to spread Krishna consciousness, if we don't have that kind of desire that I want to give Krishna consciousness, shelter at Prabhupada's lotus feet to countless living entities, at least don't let me get in the way of someone who does. Better yet, help such devotees. And they don't have to be big sannyasis or big GBCs or big temple presidents. Many devotees have sincere desire like that. It may be in much smaller quantity, but so many devotees are there. They may not look like the description we think when we think of a pukka, you know, Brahmin, Vaishnav, representative of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But devotees are making devotees, and we should assist them, at least not get in their way or discourage them. Because we're attached to material things, material facilities. You know, it's a strange thing. Inconceivable without the guidance of the pure devotee. Whatever conditioning we have to dovetail that in the service of Krishna. I'm going to use myself as an example to make a point. It kind of takes it to the extreme, but I hope you don't mind, because the point, I think, is worthy of hearing. I did my stint, almost 5 years, being a manager, temple president. Why would I have wanted to be a temple president? Because I had Ishwara Bhava. And I shouldn't say that in the past tense. I say it that way because I'm trying to train my mind that I don't want it. I don't have it. I've left it far, far behind. But that's why Prabhupada gave responsibility to his most ambitious disciples. And under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, they accomplished miracles and wonders in spreading Krishna consciousness. But it's a real razor's edge. Because you're damned if you don't, and you can be damned if you do. Because if you don't get it, when we're talking about service to the devotees in managerial positions, and I'm talking from the smallest, you know, you're in charge of doling out the paper plates at the Sunday feast on up to the GBC and spiritual masters, everywhere in between. If you have the mentality that I'm the master of the Prabhus, Ishwara Bhava has got you by the scruff of the neck and you may not even realize it. The most advanced devotees never consider themselves an elevated Vaishnava. Never. They do not consider themselves spiritual masters. They're always, always remaining in the identity of being an eternal servant of their spiritual master. So when you have Ishwara Bhava, what happens? You deserve better facility than the other Prabhus. You have the intelligence to know what Prabhupada wants or meant by his instructions. You know how to tell other Prabhus what to do. You're attached, whether you recognize or not. And then what happens? Offense comes. Offenses, Vaishnava aparads come. Sure as, you know, the sun will go down and it'll rise again. If we're in the bodily concept of life, thinking I'm better than anybody else, and when you're dealing with devotees, thinking you're better than them, and thus get set up for offending Vaishnavas, you're going to suffer. Krishna's going to try and instruct you. And we can give it up either voluntarily or by force. And when need be, the Lord will lovingly put us in a situation where we will get the picture. Two stories came to mind on this point about having managerial position, being a leader devotees, and the result of having cut oneself, not remaining their servant and assisting them in their service, inspiring them, encouraging them, facilitating them in devotional service, but instead trying to control and instruct and force what to do, as I see it. There was the dog in Lord Ramachandra's kingdom. He was just lying on the path. And this one devotee came, a Brahmin came. The dog was in his path, and he kicked him. Get out of the way. I'm a Brahmin, filthy mutt. He kicked him. Well, in Lord Ram's kingdom, anybody could go right to the top and say, I have a complaint. Could you please right this injustice or this situation? Sounds a little funny, but the dog did that. He went to the court of Lord Ramachandra. What can I do for you? Well, I was kicked yesterday for no good reason by this Brahmin. In the middle of a good dream. Thank you for that embellishment. That's a nice touch. So the Brahmin's called, and Lord Ramachandra, he asks, is this true? You kicked the dog? Yes. He turns the dog. What would you like done to this Brahmin? He said, I'd like him to become the head of a mutt. What? Why would you bless him like that, to become the head of a mutt? Because in my last life, I was the head of a mutt, and look at me now. You offend the devotees, you'll get the lesson. You will. Don't think it can't happen to you. Oh, I'm a Hare Krishna. I am not. Become a dog? Yeah, right. Bart Maharaj, anybody remember that story? Baba becomes a deer. It's really serious, even though I try to share it in a way that has some. That's how sometimes you administer strong poison. You try to do it just a little soft on the edges. Or I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again, because I like this story. The spiritual master is with his five disciples in the boat going down the river, and he sees this big, huge snake near the time of death. He's out of it. He's finished, and there are countless ants covering him, devouring him while he still lives. And the spiritual master starts laughing. I loved it when Jayapataka in his class, spiritual master started laughing. And the spiritual masters were the disciples were bewildered. What are you laughing at, Gurudev? He said, see that big, huge snake? He was the spiritual master of all those ants in their last lives. And now they're devouring him. And they didn't get it. Well, what's so funny about that? Seems like it's so very serious. He was a spiritual master, one who misleads others, who is in the darkest of ignorance and misleads others. He goes to the lowest, darkest region of hell, as Upanishad says. What's so funny about that? They asked him. He said, well, I only have five disciples. He thought it was funny. Guess you had to be there. My point is, Yukta Vairagya is what we want to do, what we want to perform, but don't be fooled. Allow your peer pressure, your God brothers, your God sisters, those who care, your authorities, your spiritual master, if you're fortunate enough. Usually you don't get that much instruction personally from your spiritual master, so you have other association. Not that I'm initiated, now I don't have to listen to my temple president or my God brother, this and that. I've made it. He can instruct me. You can't. That's the Kanishtha mentality. Mahavishnu Swami was warning us about it. Become the humble servant of the devotees. Pray to become the humble servant of the spiritual master. Understand what he wants. He simply wants to spread Krishna consciousness. That's why he's gone to all this trouble. That's why we are supposed to tolerate all the inconveniences and disturbances and challenges that we experience in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we can facilitate others coming to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, if they get this Bhagavatam, it said if you read the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhupada said if they read one verse, one word, their life becomes perfect. At least they'll get human form of life next birth. Prabhupada is so magnanimous. His heart is overwhelmed with compassion. Has no misery personally whatsoever, but when he sees the suffering of all others not engaged in Krishna service, it's too much to bear, and he gave his life in the service of you and I and all others. He asked us to take up the same thing. I'm going to end because I told myself I would end with a little bit of time for discussion. This is the prayer or song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which I think really encapsulates what we're talking about here, or trying to bring it to the last point. He says, dust from the lotus feet of pure devotees, oops, is conducive to devotional service. Wonderful thought, not the one I want to read. Please tell me, when will that day be mine? When my offenses will end and a taste for the pure holy name will be infused within my heart by the power of divine grace. Considering myself lower than a blade of grass, bringing the quality of forbearance into my heart, showing respect to all, myself being freed from all false pride, when will I taste the essence of the liquid nectar of the holy name? Well, following beautiful women as described in worldly poetry, I do not want any such bodily pleasures. O Lord Gaurahari, please give me unmotivated devotion to your lotus feet, birth after birth. When, while articulating the divine name of Sri Krishna, will my body be thrilled in ecstatic rapture, and my words be choked with emotion? When will pallor and ecstatic trembling occur, and when will streams of tears flow constantly from my eyes? When, in the land of Navadvip, on the banks of the Ganges, will I run about guilelessly calling out, O Gora, Nityananda, dancing and singing like a madman, giving up all considerations? When will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me and release me from the illusion of worldliness, giving me shelter of his lotus feet? When will he allow me to enter the marketplace of the holy name? I shall buy and plunder the mellows of the name of Hari, and becoming thoroughly intoxicated by those liquid mellows of the holy name, I shall become stunned. By touching the feet of those great souls who are able to relish those mellows, I will be constantly immersed in the sweet nectar of the holy name. Last, certainly not least, here's the bottom line. When will there be awakening of compassion for all fallen souls? And when will this Bhakti Vinod, forgetting his own happiness, with a meek heart set out to propagate by humble entreaty the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Is there any discussion, challenges, corrections, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Dhruva Maharaj, it seems, his motivation, is not pure. But then why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially like to hear a story about him?
Because he did attain love of Godhead. That's, in my 2 cents, that's the point. Anybody can achieve the mercy if you follow the proper process. He followed it in an exemplary fashion. Prabhupada in one of these purports said, no one else will equal the austerities and penances, the seriousness that, in which he followed the instructions of his spiritual master. Who can match that? But we can follow his example. The example is glorious, and that's why we're to hear it again and again and pray to become empowered to follow the instructions of our spiritual master like a sold-out servant.
Yeah, I mean, Mahaprabhu should have more favor on topics about Rasa, Leela, or...
Ooh! Somebody want to get a shoe? Maharaj, I, you have the authority. I say this out of jest. Prabhupada so often says, didn't he say it just a couple of purports ago, that some unscrupulous people think that I'm not interested in this, I want to hear Rasa Leela. That's Radha and Krishna. That's the highest. Why would I hear about this? I'll give one short example. We had one artist, a godbrother of mine. He painted this picture. It's almost like the one Jadarani painted recently. Famous picture. It's all over the world now. It's got Srimati Radharani holding the little veil in front of her face, coquettishly glancing at Krishna. So a godbrother of mine painted a picture like that. And Prabhupada asked him, "What is this? What pastime is this? What is this boy and girl painting? This is nonsense." And he chastised him personally. I was told the godbrother didn't get it. He asked one of my other godbrothers when he was away from his spiritual master, "What's the big deal? Everybody knows Krishna's God. You know, why? What's wrong with it?" And Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam class, he was heavy and made this point. Very emphatically said, "We don't want to draw these boy-girl paintings. Let's paint the universal form. Get the basics down. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everybody says God, God, God. What do they know about God is great? If they haven't realized that everything they have, their breath included, is simply a gift from God, and as such they have an unpayable debt to the Lord and His devotees, what understanding do we have?" So Mahaprabhu read these. This is fourth canto. He read seventh canto. He took a special ecstasy. Gadadhar Pandit read this part of the Bhagavatam so much, and the tears of his ecstasy and the Lord's ecstasy wetted the pages of his Bhagavatam leaves that you could no longer read them. Basics first. Then the revelation can come when you get the mercy. Is that okay?
What is their ecstasy when they hear about Dhruva Maharaj's story?
What?
What is their ecstasy when they hear about Dhruva
Maharaj's story? What is the ecstasy?
Yeah.
See, Srimad Bhagavatam, every syllable is nothing but glorification of Radha and Krishna. But the neophyte doesn't understand that. That's why we're advised, hear from a person Bhagavat. Hear the pure message from a pure soul. And if you have service-inclined senses, not rapacious senses, service-inclined senses, then the heart becomes cleansed. The lower modes of ignorance and passion become washed away. One becomes peaceful. One becomes steady in his service. Every syllable. That's why Prabhupada said every word. Just read one word. And even in the example of those who have love for Krishna, like obviously Lord Chaitanya, Gadadhar, Srivas Pandit, he heard from Devananda Pandit, who was not anything but a pure devotee, reciting Bhagavatam. He heard that recitation from an impure source. He exhibited symptoms of ecstasy, began crying and rolling on the ground. His disciples didn't know what it was about. Love of God, that's every word of the Bhagavatam. They threw him out on the street. So my point is, it's all about Radha and Krishna, but you have to lead up to Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, how do you get it? Radha and Krishna were here 5,000 years ago, and who got it? Nobody got it. That's why Mahaprabhu and his associates came to show us. He read these repeatedly. We should read them repeatedly. From first canto to tenth canto, Prabhupada said, boom, 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 boom. That's what we're told to do. I know you want to add to it. Please do. Shiki Mahiti.
The problem is that in the beginning we get to realize, like Dhruva Maharaj, he's coming with desire to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But Narada was so expert, he took that desire and purified it to the point where he no longer wanted to enjoy. So in the beginning, of course, we want to read about Radha and Krishna. He goes, "Wow, that sounds like fun." Isn't it? So sometimes we use words ecstasy. How do we use that word? It's in terms of how I feel. Isn't it? I want to experience something. So give me some ecstasy, you see. So devotional service is not, that's not pure devotional service. What is pure devotional service? I don't want anything. I want Krishna happy. I want Guru happy. That's why in the beginning we're in awe and reverence. That's easier to understand. You're great, I'm small. Let me make you happy. And gradually, once you get purified, these other things will come. That relationship between Radha and Krishna is not like the karmis. It's totally different. It's not. This Radha is not.
Aribo.
Where that can be facilitated is.
Thank you. Excellent point.
Eventually, you give up that desire to be happy. You just want Krishna happy. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what does he pray for? I don't mind if I take birth as a worm in stool, if it makes you happy. I don't want to take birth as a worm in stool. But when you're a pure devotee, it doesn't matter. Whatever Krishna puts me in, that's what he, obviously he wants me there, and that I'm willing to accept it. And when you're in that mood, then you can read about Radha and Krishna and all these things. You know, then you can, you really understand. Otherwise, it looks like, you know, just regular, boyfriend, girlfriend.
Emotional. Gita Nagari.
I just want to make a small comment.
Please.
That the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I've been told, specifically liked these pastimes of Dhruva and Prahlad Maharaj because they were small children. And there's almost like a quality of innocence to it that is extremely relishable and extremely beautiful. Just like the desire that Dhruva Maharaj manifested after he was insulted by his stepmother was almost like a childish desire. You know, a little boy, his desire to have a kingdom greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma, it's a childish desire. But then his step-by-step attaining that desire and how he went about it and the complete childishness of it, but still, you know, the way the Lord reciprocated with him, and so it's a beautiful story because of the tenderness of the age. And the same with Prahlad Maharaj. Just imagine Prahlad Maharaj, a little boy being just terrorized by his powerful father and standing firm. So it's the tenderness, that combination of the tenderness of the age of the participant in the Leela adds a certain flavor that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found very relishable.
Thank you. Lalita Madhava Prabhu. On the bottom, slide the button.
On the one hand, you mentioned that if one is fortunate enough to hear even a verse or speak a verse from Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, such a person is guaranteed a human form in the next life. But then, as you spoke, there's this razor's edge, and then there's the snake and the ants example, and the dog wishing the Brahmin that kicked him would become the manager of a mot. So I would like to hear something about, you know, this cautionary side. You gave some praman from Sri Upanishad for this, but I would like you, because there are a lot of devotees that have embraced this path of bhakti and have made Prabhupada, you know, prominent in their lives. But then there's still this possibility of misusing. Anyway, you get the gist.
So you want some Shastra?
Well, I don't need Shastra. I would just like you to say something about it, how that works. Because on the one hand, we're saying somebody just comes in contact with this, gets a human form, and then somebody who's actually for years together been in contact with it has this possibility of losing.
I'm going to take that point you just said to the extreme in one purport of Srila Prabhupada. He says if one does not take advantage of this movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you come in contact with it, you reject it. I'm not talking about somebody who performs devotional service, has some problem, falls away, etc. But you want nothing to do with it. Demoniac. One does not take advantage of this offer by late Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It will be many kulpas. Many, many kulpas before one gets another chance to... many lifetimes, Lord Brahma, before one can get a chance to take up this devotional service again. So just because we have the human form alive, you get the independence is there. What do you want with it? If you don't want to do what humans are supposed to do, which is at least progress towards the goal of life, you don't need a human body. Krishna can facilitate. Okay, you want to enjoy sense gratification this way, you know, stand naked as a tree, sleep for months as a bear, have sex continually like a pigeon, whatever. There's 8,400,000 species. Out of the 400,000 species of humans, most of them are uncivilized animal-like forms, Prabhupada says. So to have gotten it and then to lose it again, what Prabhupada said, we shouldn't be surprised when someone leaves, we should be surprised when they stay. That might be a loose application of that statement to the point I'm making, but you know, these things can happen by misuse of independence on the part of the jiva. Now, Bharat Maharaj, he retained the consciousness, he got to, you know, become Jed Bart in his next life. He, you know, didn't waste it, wasn't frivolous, etc. The dog obviously was in contact with Lord Ramachandra. I mean, the devotees, if they are in the mood of the Lord and the Lord, their curses are only benedictions. They're only for the welfare. One thing in this regard that I like to share, because I finally figured out something that I had wondered about for years. The snake, Vidyadhara, Nanda Maharaj is being eaten by him. Krishna comes and touches him with his toe. The trees, Nalakavera and Manigriva, Krishna crashes them down. They become the demigods. The little boy who cut off Durvasa Muni's hair and became a crocodile at Goradaha, and Lord Chaitanya puts his foot on his head. All three of them went back to the heavenly planets. Some of them asked to go back to the heavenly planets, and I always wondered, what in the heck is that about? But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in one purport says, when one has been given the touch of the lotus feet of the Lord, one becomes imbued with love of God. And when they go back to the heavenly planet, they share that love of God with all those who they come in contact with. So that was something, I hope it, at the time it seemed like it related a little bit. Their curses are always benedictions. They were cursed, then they became blessed. And I always wondered, how do you consider that a blessing? They just became a demigod. I even heard one sannyasi on the Parikrama say, only on the earthly planet can you do devotional service, but that's obviously not right. It's most favorable, suffering and happiness, there's some balance. You can have some sense of, yeah, I need to do this and I will do this, intoxicating the happiness in heaven, but obviously there is no material circumstances, whether it be heaven or hell. Narayana parasarve nakatushchana vidyati swagapavarga narkeshu apitu yarta darshana, heaven, hell, wherever, devotional service can be performed. So is that okay?
Yes.
I'm not going to get it. If you want to understand about Vaishnava Aparad, read Chaitanya Bhagavat, because if there's any philosophical point made in Chaitanya Bhagavat, more than any other, it's the dangers of Vaishnava Aparad. And that's really the crux, I think, of what you're going to... And that I don't want to get in extensively because of the time factor. But that's what my suggestion is. Read Chaitanya Bhagavat with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's purports, and you will hear that point repeatedly in almost every reading if you'll read a chapter at a time. Yes, Prabhu. Pass it on. And forgive me for going on, so please take your leave if you will or must.
I've heard some time ago a devotee say, You have to be very careful to commit vice apparatus against Mahabhagavats. But like the type of quarrels we had, there will not be really so much of a reaction, or like we were referring to some disagreements or arguments with regular devotees. Mm. But then there is the statement in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that the living entities in the numberless universes are all my servants. Therefore, any living entity that harms another living entity will perish. Well, that is a very heavy statement. So how can
I've read that. I remember that.
But how
it's
can
a good it point.
Be reconciled?
It's a good point. I didn't hear a question that, but if you didn't understand him, all living entities, the Supreme Lord is within the heart of all living entities. They're all dear to him, and anyone who causes them inconvenience or harms them will perish. The definition of perish is variegated, but you don't want to do it. Yeah. Is there a question there? Oh, Mahabhagavat, okay. Yeah. It's the Kanishtha mentality to think that Vaishnava Aparad, the dangers of it, applies only to the Mahabhagavat. Wrong understanding. Let me give something that just puts a little flavor to it. It's not direct, but it's stated that even a Kanishtha Adhikari can deliver 14 generations of his family forward and 14 generations back. That's how much the Lord appreciates devotional service. 28 generations of your family, and that's just for a Kanishtha who remains envious, angry, and material desires. That is a rare soul who approaches Krishna. Krishna appreciates, and as I said in the class, he's anything but stingy. So, any and all living entities, that's why those who have love of Godhead, it is the nature of their love for Krishna that they consider themselves lower than everybody else. And they would not expect honor from anybody because they are lower than everybody else. And in such a mood, they offer respects to everyone. That is the qualification for chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Mataji, I thank you for contributing. Mother Kalunga Ki!
First of all,
speak up close and loud.
I would like to thank you very much with all my heart for this class, very enthusiastic and inspiring. And I just would like to thank you very much for this beautiful class. And I'm not so cultural like all of you. I can't speak so beautifully, but I was thinking that Lady Sai doesn't speak at all, so many men were speaking, but we didn't speak anything, so please let me say something about this chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Is this okay? Yes, can I say something about
that? Yeah, my goodness. So, perfect the class.
So, you know, this is the most important, to pray. Like you said, we should be very careful what we are praying for. So you said you have to pray for devotional service, because devotional service, we obtain all our desires will be fulfilled. So we have to pray for devotional service. And I understand in my experience that the most important devotional service is starting in the morning to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So me personally, unfortunately, I have great difficulties to chant properly this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, and I understand it is the most important. So when I come here, it's different time in England and different time here. So I get up at 11 o'clock. I was thinking that it's already 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but I was surprised. I look, it's 11 o'clock. So I'm thinking, my God, what to do? I can't sleep. So I better hear Srila Prabhupada first, because it's only 11 o'clock. So I start to hear Srila Prabhupada, and it's helped me beyond imagination till today. Because actually I must be very materialistic. Because Prabhupada said something which inspired me so much that it's much easier now for me to chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Prabhupada says like this. He speaks many things about to help us, that we have some enthusiasm. So, and after he says, simply chant Hare Krishna and all problems solved.
Evil.
So, when I hear that, I'm thinking, my God, I am going to chant now like anything, and I try really without offenses, because I have so many desires, and now all my problems will be solved. So, by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, till today I am enthusiastically chanting, and I hope not so offensive like in England. This is only what I would like to share with you. Prabhupada, mercy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Kalangi ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just for those who are asleep, that's the symptoms of pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.